Last week's blackout in South Australia turbocharged the debate about renewable energy targets state governments have put in place. Some of them are as high as 50%. The Prime Minister's accused Labor governments of putting ideology ahead of the stability of the national grid. But a new analysis shows Australia will only achieve its 2020 and 2030 global commitments to cut CO2 because of those targets, if the federal government doesn't announce any new policies or money to decarbonise the economy. Danny Price from Frontier Economics has completed the analysis. He advised Mr Turnbull on climate change and energy policy in 2009. And he joins me now from Melbourne. Mr Price, welcome to AM.
Good morning.
How reliable is Australia's national electricity grid? Is it fit for purpose?
Parts of it are quite low reliability at the moment, South Australia in particular, because of a very large quantity of renewable generation. It's quite hard to manage that state. Victoria, following the closure of the Hazelwood Power Station in March, in a few weeks, that will become increasingly unreliable, and that will have implications for the interconnected states of both South Australia and New South Wales, and it'll have a knock-on effect right through to Queensland. So the system is becoming increasingly unreliable.
Is it fit for a first world country?
No, look. It's presently it is, but we are heading towards a third world power system very rapidly, and it's very hard to arrest a decline in the quality of a power system. It takes a lot of very bad decisions to get to this point, and it takes some good decisions to get us out of it. But it, given the way that the politics are panning out right now, and in Parliament, doesn't look as if we've got any movement towards an improvement. In fact, it's a substantial deterioration in the way that the government is managing it. It's politicised this debate more than it really needed to or to have.
Okay, what does your analysis show about how Australia will achieve its global commitments, especially to 2030?
Yeah, so our commitments under Paris Agreement require us to reduce. Our target is a 28% reduction on our 2005 levels. What got me wondering was, given how sharply the government had kind of moved away from the main option for reducing emissions through an emissions intensity scheme, it got me wondering as to how we're going to achieve that our 28% target. It has no policy to achieve it itself on a national level. But it is critical of the states who have stepped into the policy vacuum created by there being no national policy. And so the state governments have implemented, in particular Victoria, the ACT, and Queensland has committed to quite significant renewable targets by about 2030, 35 of about 50%. They all vary. The ACT, for example, has a 100% target by 2020. I looked at the extent to which those state renewable targets will achieve the 28% reduction, and lo and behold, if nothing changes, if we've in terms of current policy settings, those state targets go ahead, we actually achieve the 28% reduction with no national policy, and I figure that the federal government must know this, and so it gets the opportunity to criticise the states for these schemes for being expensive and leading to greater insecurity, which will certainly happen, while claiming the benefits of the emissions reduction. So it doesn't have to do anything and still meet its targets.
But stability is an issue, given how rapidly the switch has happened.
Yeah, we currently don't have the technology in place to manage our power system reliably with very large quantities of renewables. So South Australia has, quite often described as an experiment, remembering, of course, that all but one wind farm that's gone into South Australia has gone in because of the Commonwealth Government scheme, not because of the state government. So the Prime Minister is particularly critical of the South Australian government for its what he describes as the South Australian government scheme. It's not the South Australian government scheme. It's Mr Turnbull's scheme. What we've found is that at about 50%, which it is now, The system becomes highly unstable, and so we have to find technological solutions to overcome that. And in the end, we must find technological solutions to overcome these problems, because the commitment Australia has made is that roughly by about 2050, under the Paris Agreement, we have to be in the electricity sector net zero emissions. So we've got a challenge that we have to meet, and that challenge was given to us by the coalition government who signed the Paris Agreement.
You've advised the Turnbull government in the you've advised Mr Turnbull in the past, Nick Xenophon, the South Australian government, politicians from all sides. Is there a way to take the politics out of the debate and fix the national grid?
It's extremely difficult to see how the politics is going to get out of the debate. It was far less significant in the debate just before Christmas when the energy minister flagged the possibility of looking at an emissions intensity scheme, and within hours or less than a day, it turned deeply political. And interestingly, we've now got the federal energy minister parroting what the what Penny Wong said 7 years ago about the emissions intensity scheme. So there's been a 180 degree turn from in terms of
both sides.
So Labor, Labor. Criticised the emissions intensity scheme back in 2009 because it wanted to pursue its carbon pollution reduction scheme, and the coalition, or at least Turnbull at the time, supported it, and that's completely reversed. In fact, the emissions intensity scheme was a policy that the Labor government took, the Labor opposition took to the last election.
Okay. Frontier Economics, Danny Price, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.